House Finance, come to order. We have members present, Representative Munoz, Representative Holmes, Stoltz, Co-Chair Osterman, our faithful side wing there, Representative Wilson, Representative Edgman, Representative Thompson, and Vice Chair Newman. And Representative Guttenberg joining us. We'll be well caffeinated. It's, you know, folks have had a chance to review this. I know we've been getting floods of emails. There were some mistakes that were of a technical nature. I know there were some glaring things that I kind of in jest said, just because something's not there doesn't mean it's a mistake. Well, and Representative Guerra has also joined us. We're at full strength, along with Representative Costello. There were some very glaring things in the, as we were juggling multiple projects. We left off a couple things, notably the working through the Bush caucus. There was energy weatherization money that was intended to be put in there. And through the transmissions late night as we were scurrying back and forth, at least I was, that. And I'm quite embarrassed. Sometimes the memos you send to yourself as you're worrying about everybody else's, and there's a couple of things that I had forgotten to put in, and that's quite embarrassing for me to appear to be adding things afterwards, but I want to acknowledge that, and I've actually pared back the request because I'm very sensitive to my responsibility serving the whole state and the whole committee, but I'm glad we made a mistake on something that Representative Edgman, so at least I had a ability to repair my blunder. It's our intent to do amendments later, but there are a number of technical issues and some word changes. We're going to be producing a new CS, but they will to make the technical changes and some of the reappropriations adjustments. We will very plaintively put those on the record, and that'll be part of the final vote on the bill. But there are going to be requests to make modifications. We will deal with those in an amendment process. We'd like folks to, and we'll adjust to, unlike, not all of these, they will be amended to this version, so for ease of transfer, and it should be pretty clear. Some of them may pass, some of them may not. We'll see what the process yields. So I needed to get this part of the process started. I think let's shoot for a target of getting your amendments in by 11 o'clock. I think folks pretty much know what their hopes and aspirations are for this capital budget, and we will deal with them in the same small D democratic fashion as we always do with the edge of fiscal reality. So, are there any questions about? And I think folks have been pretty good, pretty prompt about pointing out things that were technically inaccurate, which is part of the process. When this is our proofreading process, is a pretty good process. Having hundreds of eyes on this in and out of the building is very helpful. I want to thank everybody. And some of the things really were not mistakes, so, and those will be dealt with through the amendment process. Are there any questions on the next steps? It's our intent, if we can deal with the amendments, I'd like to come in at, I'd like to come back in at noon. Okay, how about, let's just shoot for 12:30, just because I know folks have, I know for many of us, this is the most holy day of the year, and that's the importance. I've been very uncomfortable sitting here doing legislative business on that. So we'll take a brief at ease. after consultation with my coach, we're back in order with my co-chair. He has injected some reality and some other deadlines that we have as a legislative body. We're going to ask to have the amendments by 10:30, and we will come back in and shortly after that take up the amendments in the bill, and so we can get a substitute out to the floor before we get tied up in other activities. We have to keep the flow of today's activities going. So my apologies. We will be back in some to the call of the chair. Let's shoot for 10:30. The House Finance Committee, previously recessed to the call of chair, is reconvening at 3:18 p.m. on the 20th of April, 2014. We have a full committee, so we have a quorum still. We have before us the House CS for Senate Bill 119 Finance, the H version, is what we're working off of. We have four amendments before us. We will have the amendments moved and debated one at a time. Representative Guerra, amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number one.
Yeah, I'll object.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. East High is the only high school in Anchorage, public high school in Anchorage, that doesn't have a facility for people to watch football games. No stadium, no scoreboard. No lighting, and so The total project to install that and a track in Capsis was roughly $3.1 million. We knew that we could not get that. And so we were hoping to get funds phased over 2 years given the fiscal climate. And $1 million is certainly a start towards that. It will hopefully help us along maybe a 2 or 3 year program towards getting East High the stadium facilities that all the other high schools in Anchorage have, and given the fiscal climate the state's in, I know that we can't get the full $3.1 million, so I did not ask for that.
And we recognize this is not full funding. East High has previously received $2.5 million. I'm a big advocate of these opportunities. I don't call them football fields. I call them turf fields because they're opportunity for exponential use opportunities, extending the season and the number of activities that can be put on there. And I hate it when people call them AstroTurf. Reduced maintenance costs and use opportunity. Football is probably more people watch, but more people participate in the other sports. Just historically, people think that I've put in most of the turf fields around the state. As far as I've worked on three of them through appropriations, all outside of my district, Chugiak High School, Colony High School, and Palmer High School. And the latter, Colony High School, had a donor that provided $1 million worth of pro bono work for the turf field, which certainly helped. And there was a state appropriation. Palmer and Colony also benefited from voter-approved bonds, which Anchorage hasn't stepped up and done. And Chugiak High School, which received a $1 million appropriation for their project, received money from the Parks and Recs Board, which is a service area. So just historically, I guess I'm not as much of a champion as others that have put fields in West High and South and service. The Mat-Su Borough has stepped, the voters have stepped up and provided local input and including philanthropy as Diamond High School as well. And I even donated cash to the scoreboard project for Chugiak High School. So it's been, I think in the future, we're going to have to be a lot more creative on how we integrate community involvement on these things. The state is not going to be the funding source. And even when we were in more lean times, on the projects I worked on, I insisted upon buy-in. And I just want to just historically set this, and I think other people thought those things just grew out of some magic beans or something. They were through a lot of hard work by local folks. And East High School is deserving. It's in a neighborhood in which the opportunities probably are even more significant than other schools. I'm very familiar with it. My older sisters graduated there in 69 and 70, and until we moved up in the world and moved to Chugiak. So I'm familiar with the field, and I have relatives that teach at East High School. And actually, I was very involved in trying to help them initiate the project and having had familiarity. But you don't have the same amount of necessary donors and families that have the ability to participate. And we'll continue to work with you on this, not just in the public arena, but I have committed to help other people. And through, it's not always a lot of money, but helping on fundraising activities, I believe that's, even if it's a small amount, the local involvement is incredibly important. Representative Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. And I wanted to mention there's an attached letter from some minority members and the legislator from the East High area. And my question to the sponsor of the amendment is, if this amendment goes through, what will that $1 million be attributed to? I see there's a list of items that are a part of the request. So.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Costello. I think the $1 million will have to sit there until they're able to raise a little bit more money. They could probably, with volunteer labor, with $1.5 million, probably get the bleachers and a scoreboard, and then leave the lighting and all those other things for another day. But I'll certainly commit to trying to get volunteer labor as much as possible, and speak to the city about bonding. But I think the bleachers are the number one priority. I'm not 100% sure they can get there with $1 million, but it's that's a start. I wouldn't object to. I will certainly, I'm very happy with, given the fiscal climate, the $1 million, I certainly would not vote against anything adding a $500,000 that I think would get them the bleachers and scoreboard with volunteer labor.
I'll move my objection before anybody gets any crazy ideas. Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Representative Guerra, amendment number 2.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Alaska Craftsman's Home Program is part of the state's energy efficiency and home weatherization framework. They work closely with AHFC in working across the state to make our homes more energy efficient. What they do is they train people in weatherization. They train people, the people who come into your homes, to make your homes more energy efficient. And they train the raters who come in to rate your homes as part of the AHFC program for energy efficiency. The $1 million that's being requested here is it will largely go to two homes that they will buy so they can train people in actual homes in weatherization, in rating. And I think they've been an integral part of the state's energy efficiency program. Without them, I think we would have a harder time getting people into your home to do the rating, to do the energy efficiency work. This money, I think, gets saved and returned back to the public in multiples. So that's what this request is. The CAPSIS backup is attached to the amendment.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I just have a question on whether or not, you know, it does say that this is a one-time funding, so if this were to go through, they wouldn't be back for any other funding. The program can then be self-sufficient.
Through the chair.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. What I can tell you is this money is really for those two homes that they would buy to train people in, so that they would have a place to train people to do practical weatherization and rating work. I'm not part of the organization, and if they came back, they'd certainly have to justify their request. But this is for a very discrete project, which is the homes and related facilities they need to have a place to train people inside the kind of homes that they're and structures that they'll be weatherizing and auditing.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've just recently been through the inspection process in my home and had that done. It was just within 10 days I was able to get a home inspector to my home and had a selection of several that I could have chose from. But I think that the best experience you can have is going to different people's homes and looking at those homes to see what's out there. Regionally, they've been built differently and at different times and in different areas and the types of construction that they use. Also, as somebody who's gone through the refrigeration heating program at Matsu Community College, very similar to other ones across the state, this is where you spend 2 years learning how energy moves, whether to the inverse of R is the U rating of is how much energy moves through things or does not move through things with the R value, inverse of R. So there's some great programs out there where you can get an associate's degree in these types of programs that are very technical in nature. They're part of our community college program where I personally would love to see another $1 million go, but I don't think we can afford it there. I didn't have a problem getting several people to come to my home who were very good because they had the guy who did my house had been in the home inspection business for over 30 years, 37 years, in fact, I believe his resume said. You know the gentleman, Cliff Judkins, and very good at what he does and inspecting homes and adapted well into this. My concern is the growth in the capital budget. I think that trying to get these into the educational systems where we can be training a tremendous amount of, and again, I was 28 years old when I went back to school. It's not just high school kids or into college kids, but I've learned that I didn't know everything when I graduated high school and I was 20 years old. It took me another 8 years to figure that out, but I did.
Took you till you're 20 to get out of high school. No, we'll go there.
And I'm,
no, we won't go there.
Figure that one out. So, you know, I think these are great programs, but I'm very concerned about the money, and we're trying to fund education right now, and a lot of needs in our programs. And for that reason, I don't think I could support this. Not that it's not a good program, but we just have a lot of great programs I'd love to see funded.
Thank you. You have any final comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I certainly understand about the growth in government. I'm not one that eats up very much of the capital budget historically. And I would say if you look at the last page, the Alaska State Home Building Association recognizes this group has been around for 25 years doing this. And they do it more cheaply than a university can do it, without the benefits, without the things that are much more expensive. And the Home Building Association recognizes that they're an integral part of this. AEA recognizes that. AHFC recognizes that. They do it for cheaper and as effectively as any university could do. So this is a one-time request for these two facilities.
Objection is maintained. It is. Please
yes.
Call the roll.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
Yes.
Representative Munoz?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Costello?
No.
Representative Stoltz?
No.
Representative Osterman?
No.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
No.
Please announce the total.
3 yay, 8 nay.
By a vote of 3 yay, 8 nay, the amendment fails. Amendment number 3, Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number 3 is for a mentoring program that Big Brothers Big Sisters has. They take at-risk youth who have done poorly in their third-grade reading scores, and Alaska ranks roughly 48th in the nation on third-grade reading comprehension scores. They take those at-risk students, and they tutor them, and they mentor them so that those students can achieve at a much greater rate. This will provide tutoring and mentorship in Anchorage, Juneau, Fairbanks, Haines, and Sitka. And they will certainly have to find funds to expand this program, but this year of funding would be to help them establish through evidence-based practices and studies that this pilot program works. If it doesn't, they'll never get anywhere. If it does, they'll be able to leverage the private funding they need to move ahead. So their request was for $500,000. $80,000 is in the budget, and we would hope that we'd be able to fund this. I think, again, you'd want folks to be educated rather than folks to come out and not graduate school and be a cost on society.
Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chair, I have a question on the next page, and it shows that $526,000 2015, which is my understanding this is what this is for as well, is coming from the U.S. Department of Education. And so I guess what I'd like to find out first is that did the legislature give the full $1 million that it's showing here last year, and did they spend that whole $1 million in a year, which I know most of this is voluntary. I mean, and I think the program is new, from what I understand with the program, that if successful, it's a good program. But I guess what I'd like to find out is, I have a hard time believing it's a new program that they've used up this $1 million, and then I'd like to find out whether or not this $526,000 is something that they have already received.
Thank you. Through the chair. I believe that they've been raising money. They have now... they now have for a roughly $3 million project that they're trying to put together. They've secured $2.5 million of it. The federal funding is restricted to Alaska Native students, and with the $500,000 extra, they'll be able to complete the funding, I think, to complete the pilot project to prove that this works or doesn't work.
Follow-up.
So they did receive money last year, yes, as you asked.
Okay, so I guess, but my question was, of the $1 million, if that's what they received, how much do they have left? And is it enough to get them to another year so that we could actually get data back on how hard, whether they were able to find the number of, you know, because I know it's hard to find. It was all mentors, a lot of it's volunteers, you know, and have they been able to do that and then get us some data back? Do they have enough money of this $1 million to get them through another year so we can get that data? Because this really is an operating cost here that's going to be ongoing. Not even we're talking about expanding just to keep it going. And I'd like to see the data before any more money was put in, personally.
Through the chair.
Representative Gehring, wrap up.
Sure. That would just be a dog chasing his tail thing, that they can't prove the data until they have the time put into the pilot program to get the data. And with this, they will be able to have what they need to prove that the pilot program works. It's an extra $420,000 that we're asking, and that's what I can say.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
No.
Representative Munoz?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Costello?
No.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Osterman?
No.
Representative Stoltz?
No. What's the total?
2 yay, 9 nay.
So by a vote of 2 yes, 9 nays, amendment number 3 fails. Representative Guerra, Representative Guttenberg, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move amendment number 4.
Object.
There's objection.
Amendment number 4 is continuation of funding that we started in 2012 for a program called BACLAP. BACLAP is, it's Alaska Boreal Forest Management. Boreal Alaska Learning Adaptation and Production. Thank you, sorry. It has two components of it. One is the research side. This takes place in the forest, learning about the needs for what's going on in Alaska forests. Professor Jude, who's been active in this for many, many years, learning about the components of the forest that are critical to what we want to do today. Biomass, how large does the forest need to be? What is the mix for the people making pellets between aspen and spruce and birch? What's the count of the humidity humidity in the wood? This is critical to the things that we're asking now, that our private sector is asking now. Exploring all the possibilities that are available for the forest, and it already has practical application. This side of it is poised to go south of the Alaska Range in South Central to do the same things into their forest, to understand how large of a biomass is needed on the life of the forest. Does it need to be 100 years for sustainability? Does it need to be 50 years? And from my understanding, that the expectations are getting smaller, that the yearly cycles are better understood and how large the forests need to be. That's all well and good, but the other side of the component is even more considerable. It's hands-on forestry in the schools. It's teaching kids about plant growth and tree rings and germination. And children are picking this up and getting very excited about it. It's children that are not normally enhanced and want to move into the sciences. It's what they're doing is they're building the curriculum based upon what works. You know, the teaching experiences around the state. What are the parts of this learning experience that the children are grasping right off the bat? It's as if the stuff that kids do with computers that are second nature to them. We're putting science in their hands, and young children who would not normally want to be are talking about being scientists and just enjoying this stuff, and giving the teachers the curriculum to do that based upon what the result is off of the students' successes. So this is half of the money that they've requested that's left, just so that they continue this program. Go to the south side. They were collaborating with DNR, with forestry. They want to expand out into the state because they're being asked to. And this just continues the program at a rate that hopefully it'll be done sooner than later.
It sounds like an interesting project. It's we're really at the stress point in the capital budget. We've added a number of things over the course, and we've gone through a process of adding a lot of projects. I guess it's time. I'm just going to have to say, I much like the other projects at Route 4, I don't discount merit on them. But, I'm going to just, with some regret, I'm going to recommend a no vote.
Can I just say one thing before we go to the vote, Mr. Chair? This is something that we started. We already have $1 million into it, $1 million into it. This program is being absorbed and touted by the National Academy of Sciences. They love this curriculum. They love the forestry work. They're coming to Alaska to take our curriculum, to talk to our scientists, to take this program back to schools all across the country so teachers can learn from this example. There's even been some comments about taking this educational model and using it in other industries in Alaska. Right now, the mining industry is looking at learning this model of education, which is working, which is hands-on, what it is that excites the kid in a classroom, and moving them into something that they understand, a practical application. If we can get more kids in our state involved in the sciences and the research, and you know, we are always talking about putting things into the classroom, putting curriculum into the classroom that's Alaska-bound, Alaska-oriented, so that these kids can grow up and do the things tomorrow that we want them to do. We already have $1 million into this program. They're trying to finish it, and then it's a done deal, and it's a project that's done, and they hand it to teachers across the state and around the country. Thank you.
Representative Munoz. I just have a couple of questions for the sponsor. Is this a nonprofit organization that the money would go to? And I see in this budget they already have been allocated $150,000. And what would that $150,000 be used for?
It's through the university.
Oh, it's through the university.
Right. It's research at Vision of Forest. No, not the forestry program at the university. They have a phenomenal forestry lab up there. They work hand in hand with DNR, and the original appropriation for this year is $150,000. It just continues moving them forward, but slows them way down. The $350,000, which is half of what they need to complete it, allows them to keep being a robust program and building the curriculum and doing the forestry research.
And Mr. Chairman, just one final question. Does the university put any money toward this program?
The university puts money into the program as far as office space, and you know, the university rents space to everybody across the state. You know, the programs pay for their, you know, I mean, we passed the building fund here the other day. As far as that segment, the university supplies that building, that allocation of space and time, and these researchers work on other things as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Clerk, please call the roll. Oh, did you have a question?
Well, I just wanted to add something. I know money is tight, and I support this program, and what I will do is work with DNR and Department of Education and the university and see if we can't help them find funds or help or whatever on this. So, you know, my no vote on this right now, this amendment, is not because I don't believe in the program. I just know the budget just really has no more room left in, just like the other program I think is a good program. But I do think there are other resources that can help this program who all benefit from it and really ought to be more players, not just in the funding but also the support that goes with a program like this, so that years out they can still continue the program, not just stop it.
And there's probably there are things that probably are less meritorious than in the budget, and that's not but this is where we're at right now is adding, and that's I acknowledge that fully, that Please call the roll.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
Yeah.
Representative Munoz?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Costello?
No.
Representative Edgemond?
Yes.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Stoltz?
No.
Representative Osterman?
No.
Please announce the total.
3 yea, 8 nay.
So by the 3 yea, 8 nay, the amendment fails. Are there any other amendments? We're sending this back to drafting as a committee substitute. It'll be back before us tonight. I do want a full acknowledgement. I've worked with the administration. There will be an additional $10 million for Susitna for a total of $20 million. They had previously requested 42.7 through a series of discussions. I don't want that to be a surprise to anybody, and I've talked to members of the minority as well as the majority, and certainly we don't want to pull any surprises on the public. And so I know it's one of high interest, and we won't debate it now, but we will. So we'll send this out of committee. I don't know if we need to make a formal motion that this will be back before as a CS with that amendment. So just for purposes of efficiency, and we have made some other adjustments and changes, and we'll give you a summary of those. With that, set this. Mr. Michelle has probably already embarked this over. Mr. Carpenter, you're dismissed to get to work on this thing. We have the bells have been ringing. Senator Dyson, this is our last chance to take up your bill, 108. We've discussed the likely scenario for the committee, as we've discussed in previous. We have not adopted the House Finance CS. The House Judiciary CS is before us. There is an amendment, which we have a memo from your staff saying you would accept this to the original bill, which we interpreted as the judiciary version. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that there was clarity. So we have the original bill before us. We have a...
Have we had a motion to adopt the CS? Do we need to
rescind or do something? I believe I may have made it that... If no objection, the motion previously to adopt the House Finance CS is no longer before us. It's withdrawn. We have replacement amendment number one, which is and Mr. George, why don't we wait? We want to make sure we get this right. We've had several iterations.
And I'll object for discussion.
And I haven't moved it yet, though. It's I will move replacement number one. And I want to make sure I have the right version because they look very similar. It's 28LS0973/R.5. Is that the correct version?
Mr. Chairman, members of the House Finance Committee, Daniel George for the record.
Is that the correct version?
This is the correct. R5 is the legal drafted version of the original amendment number one, which had been drafted by the House Finance staff.
I wanted to have incredible clarity and accuracy on this because we don't have a chance to come back. I've moved the amendment. There was an objection. The amendment it basically it provides that if your charge is dismissed for part of a plea agreement, those will not be taken off the out of the public domain and the court views. Senator Dyson,
it's not quite accurate. Our previous bill allowed for that. What this one does is it says if there's two separate cases and one of them gets plea bargained out. But in the second case, any conviction, then the records from both cases stay up on court view. That's an option we hadn't thought of. The Department of Law caught that one, and so that's why we're fine with it. But it's slight difference.
Okay. Yep. I just for on the record, is this Ms. Carpenetti? Are you here? Well, I know we're being called, but we're going to take the couple of minutes to make sure that. Since I inartfully and inaccurately described it, I want to make sure that the public record indicates. Thank you.
Annie Carpenetti, represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law, and my understanding is the same as Senator Dyson's, which would clarify that if a case was dismissed in connection with a plea agreement, in another separate case, then both would remain on CourtView and available to the public.
I think we meant the same thing. I said the wrong thing. So I'm glad we clarified that with both of you. Is there objection to the amendment?
I remove my objection.
Hearing no objection, the amendment is adopted on the fiscal note. Are there any other amendments? On the fiscal note, Representative Costello?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senate Bill 108, Judiciary has a fiscal note 2666 from the Department of Health and Social Services showing zero fiscal impact. This one's dated March 14, 2014. OMB component number 768 for Senate Bill 108, Judiciary, dated March 18, 2014. From the court system shows a fiscal impact of $25,500 in FY15, $3,500 in FY16, and that same amount for FY17, 18, 19, and 20. OMB component number 43 for Senate Bill 108, dated March 7, 2014, from the Department of Administration shows zero fiscal impact. Senate Bill 108, Judiciary, has OMB component number 1631. Dated March 7, 2014, from the Department of Administration, showing zero fiscal impact. And Senate Bill 108, Judiciary, also has a 2202 OMB component number, dated March 7, 2014, from the Department of Law, showing no fiscal impact.
Okay. And these fiscal notes were approved in the adoption of the Conference Committee report yesterday, so they are... I guess we had a presumption the bill would pass. Senator Dyson.
I'd like to make a brief statement to correct the record. The last time we were here, I and others represented that the committee substitute was from the administration, including the governor. The governor's office and the governor himself have been very clear with me that that committee substitute did not come from the governor's office at all. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'll let you state that version. So. Are there any objections to moving the bill from committee? Object. You want to speak to your objection or call the roll? Okay.
Chairman, I'll just say I think I understand the intent, and I think the sponsor has very good intents. I think my concerns have been fleshed out. So I was not going to call for a roll call vote. But okay.
Representative Gutenberg? Okay. Did you want to speak to it or just call the roll? Are there any other comments or objections?
Move the bill.
Okay. Did we already? I guess we didn't. Please. Thank you for keeping us on.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move committee substitute for Senate Bill number 108, Judiciary version /R from committee as amended with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
And this is where the objection is maintained. Would you just want to go to a roll call?
Go right to the roll call.
Okay. Please call the roll.
Representative Holmes. Representative Munoz.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Costello.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
No.
Representative Osterman.
Yes.
Representative Stoltz.
Yes.
9 yea, 2 nay.
So by a vote of 9 yea, 2 nay, the bill moves from committee, and my vote was to move the bill forward in progress through the process. Thank you, Senator Dyson. I don't believe we have any other business before us today. We will be back with Representative Munoz.
Daryl is here. If we could get a photo of the committee before we all
decide. Why don't we do that a little later? Why don't we do it a little later when we're not as rushed? We'll have some time for, but thank you for, maybe I can comb my hair before then, too. So can the co-chair. With that, the House Finance Committee will stand in recess to a call of the chair. House Finance come to order. We are continuing our meeting from earlier today. We have before us the updated House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 119. Mr. Vice Chair, can you move
your motion? I'd like to move House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 119, Finance Version 28-GS2672/T, Tango, dated 4-2014, for committee referral.
I'm going to object. Mr. Michelle is going to, all my favorite Joes here, Mr. Michelle is going to spend a couple minutes going through the changes, number of amendments. There were one amendment. Go, please just go through the changes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Michelle, staff to House Finance and staff to Representative Stoltz. I'm going to burn through these changes pretty quick. We're going to start with the chair's permission, we'll start with the Alaska Energy Authority's Sitna-Wantana Hydroelectric Project. $10 million was added to that project. Under grants to name recipients, we've combined two grants into one in regards to Chugiak Eagle River, Subversal Road Drainage and Rehabilitation. There was another addition of Alaska Association of Conservation Districts, Statewide Soil and Water Conservation Program Development Management. That's on page 18, line 33. The East High School Stadium Seating and Scoreboard line item was increased from $50,000 to $1,050,000. There's been money added in regards to schools in the area. There's some digital learning called Cook Inlet Tribal Upper One Games Social Enterprises, page 37, line 11. There is a National Math and Science Initiative for $500,000 on page 43, line 23 for the MATSU. One of the big things that you guys, that the committee will notice in this CS is there have been two items removed in regards to reducing criminal recidivism. It was both the line item that was for the appropriation for the Aquila Inc., and there is also money removed for Partners in Progress Reducing Criminal Recidivism, a multi-agency reentry center.
Recidivism. No, just keep going. Don't say the word again. Repeat offenders.
Both of those items, through the chair, Representative Holmes, are not in the bill any longer. But in the Department of Health and Social Services section, there has been $4 million added to the Department of Health and Social Services for a two-year program with a report back to the legislature specifically outlining what they have done. The purpose of doing this was Department of Health and Social Services has programs and formulas in place and ranking systems to judge best who would best combat repeat offenders.
On a competitive grant basis.
What page is this new one on?
The new one, through the chair, is on page 53, line 25. The members should have with their packets a letter from the Department of Health and Social Services outlining that they accept these changes and accept the responsibility of...
They promoted these changes and asked us.
They promoted these changes. They were uncomfortable with the way it was currently handled.
And it's consistent with what the named grantee testified to at our Health and Social Service Committee's urging competitive grants, that being Aquila House and Ms. Nadeau. It was very emphatic that they could compete and favored that accountability therein. For those that remember our meetings in Fairbanks and other locations, please proceed.
Through the chair, a program was added to the Department of Natural Resources in regards to federal overreach. It's page 57, line 32.
And that's an existing CACTA affiliate.
On in reference to in the previous meeting, Mr. Chairman referred to AHFC energy programs. $2.5 million was added back to return the governor's number of $29 million.
It was an omission. We had meant to include it, and that was a request of a number of members, and it wasn't not included intentionally. It was so that's a correction that was omitted. So please proceed.
In the language section, there is a amendment for $500,000 to the Play Every Day campaign to help battle child obesity. On page 103, line 12, there is language in regards to allowing the administrative branch of the government to make comments on initiatives that the voters, you know, will be looking at in the future. In the previous version, there was language that seemed a little too constrictive, and we've reduced the amount of money down to $10,000 that is allowable. And the language is on page 103, line 12. And finally, two more items. There is a reappropriation for the Fairbanks North Star Borough in regards to their wood stove changeout program. And finally, in regards to the UAF power plant, there is $13 million removed from their cash, from their appropriation. That had to do with the structure of the fiscal notes. The fiscal notes allowed for $7 million to pay for debt service. This money started in FY15 and continued on. The debt service for the university would not start being issued until 2017. So that was $7 million every year. That was extra in the fiscal notes. The chairman decided to remove that money from the appropriation. We did not spend that in this bill. We put it back into the state savings account to not spend it.
And hopefully there'll be restraint and refrain.
To summarize, the House Finance CS for the Senate SB 119 is $42 million over the Senate. That's one-fifth of the size of their ads. And that concludes all.
Okay. Brief at ease. Yeah, okay, yeah. We'll order pizza afterwards. Thanks. And you wanted pepperoni. Thank you.
Love pepperoni.
That,
through the chair. I don't think anybody's fooled.
That is the extent of the changes.
Okay. Any questions? Representative Guerra and then Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have questions on a few of these programs. $5.6 million was taken out of an Aquila House and Partners for Progress appropriation that was in here. That was for a comprehensive substance abuse treatment program that led to counseling, job
Mr.
training.
Appleby, will you join us at the table, or Mr. Hooley?
Yeah. And then transitional housing, as I understood it. That's been reduced to $4 million, and I don't know what the new program does, if it does any of those things or all of those things. I have a concern about
that. Why don't we let him present, and you can ask him a question.
Sure.
Mr. Hooley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason Hooley, Special Assistant to Commissioner Struer, Department of Health and Social Services. Thank you, Representative Guerra. I know recidivism and substance abuse issues, public inebriates, are a big concern of the department, another concern of the committee. And so we have worked, the commissioners worked with the Mental Health Trust and Jeff Jesse, and can offer a little bit of insight to what we plan on doing.
And what page is this on, Mr. Chair, the new proposal?
53.
Okay, I see it. Yep.
Please proceed, Mr. Hooley.
Yes, There was an issue that we wanted to make sure our outcomes and measurables were more fully fleshed out and defined. And so a competitive bid process will be utilized, and we will further explore what we want out of this program and look forward to being very specific with our proposal that we request for the services.
Through the chair.
Representative Guerra.
My understanding of the last programming, and correct me if I'm wrong, was treatment and then counseling and job training and transitional housing, so that people would end up on the street with skills and treated and not homeless. So it's being replaced with something that does not talk about any of those things. I assume treatment will be in there, but I don't know if there's any transitional housing, job training, or any of those things. And so why should I be okay with that swap?
Representative Guerra, through the chair, point taken. And we do intend to make sure that those types of aspects are emphasized and required of our program. We believe that under our department and a competitive bid process, we can provide the necessary support and accountability to make sure that those types of program structures are in place. And as the chairman alluded, at least one of the former grantees was supportive of a competitive process for that additional accountability and structure.
Representative Newman on this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hooley, isn't there this year over $96 million in state funds and behavioral health grants with almost $100 million in federal funds, and that's typical to have $195 to $200 million a year for behavioral health grants?
Representative Newman, through the chair, your memory is probably a little clearer than mine as a subcommittee chairman, but yes, we do have considerable investment into behavioral health treatment, substance abuse. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Guerra, thank you.
On this program, Mr. Chair, I'm not going to belabor it, but by the time this gets to the floor, I would like a commitment that this is going to include the same components of the program that's been deleted, just as if you said here in committee, because that's not in the letter.
Yes, sir.
You know the timelines, Mr. Hooley?
Yes, sir.
And then, Mr. Chair, I'm not happy with the reinsertion on page 103 of line 12, of $10,000 to the governor's office for the governor to use on ballot propositions. I think, you know, the governor, like any legislator, can speak to ballot propositions, but I think this is money for campaigning. And
I think we're done with you, Mr. Hooley.
I would object to that.
And briefly, Ms. Rayfield, to get this on the record, it was originally $25,000 with vastly different language.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Karen Rayfield with the Office of Management and Budget. The appropriation request before you for the $10,000 now is for the executive branch to be able to provide information that may be used to influence the outcome of an election. It's a requirement in statute that we have a specific appropriation so that, for example, if a department was making a presentation and providing information on any of the subject matters that may potentially be on an initiative before the voters, if that information, educational or otherwise, could be used to influence the outcome of the election, the law is very clear that we must have a specific appropriation. So that it's
this is compliance with an Alaska Public Offices Commission requirement?
That's correct,
Mr.
Chairman.
Can you state that for the record and not disagree?
It is absolutely a requirement of the law.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Laws require appropriations. I don't appreciate $10,000 going to the governor to campaign on what Ms. Rayfield said would be money used to influence the outcome of an election.
Is that can you clarify that?
No, Mr. Chairman, Representative Guerra.
That was Representative Guerra's words.
The funding, the law is very specific about providing information that may be used. It's any kind of information that would be educational in nature that may be used to influence the outcome of an election. Someone might be able to rely on information that a department, it's not specifically the governor of the state of Alaska, it's a department may use to explain or provide information that may be relevant to an initiative that's before the voters. So it's a very specific statutory requirement that there be a specific appropriation.
Representative Guerra.
Mr. Chair, a statute can talk about money, just like the Renewable Energy Fund can talk about money, which the governor has not appropriated according to what the statute says. And here, you've now said it twice, money may be used to influence the outcome of an election. I don't like that, and I don't want to appropriate any money for it.
Is it perceived to influence or intended to influence? I was very concerned about this provision, and it's as other members were, as it was explained, it was an APOC requirement. I would just like a little more clarification. Representative Guttenberg,
thank you on that point as well. Ms. Rayfield, I listened to what you said the two or three times that you said it, and the thing that's troubling me is, I mean, I can understand if the governor has to do or the administration has to do something for educational or purposes to put information on the table for a ballot initiative, but what I heard after listening to you a couple of times is you said the only reason that there's an APOC requirement to do this is because the governor intends to do work that influences the outcome of an election, and therefore it's required to have an appropriation. Is it? It's just the governor is not required to have an appropriation just to the administration just to put information out on the table. But if he intends to do action that influence an election, then there has to be an appropriation. That's the way it sounds like to me. And I hope I'm being clear from the definition of the difference between the two of them.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guttenberg, and the Department of Law would be the best person to provide more information. I have the statute, thanks to Mr. Michel here. The Department of Law advised us that it would be appropriate for us to include a request in the budget that, and if I can read, that the entity, that, just a moment here. That you must have a specific appropriation. I'm looking for the sentence right here.
That's.
Representative Costello.
Mr. Co-Chair, the language that Ms. Rehfeld is using to express what this does is different than the language that is in this bill. So either I could read it or if she
Why don't you just read it in the record?
I'll read the actual language on page 103, lines 12 through 15.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Costello, the language in the bill says the sum of $10,000 is appropriated from the general fund to the Office of the Governor for the purpose of providing information about the potential effects of a ballot proposition if approved by the voters that will appear on a statewide election ballot in 2014 for the fiscal years ending June 30, 2014 and June 30, 2015.
And then it goes on the next statement on C.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the statement of purpose for the appropriation made in subpart B of this section is intended to satisfy the requirements in Alaska Statutes 1513-145B and 2AAC 50.356 subpart A.
Which is the APOC?
Which is the Alaska Public Offices.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Representative Garris is looking up the statute,
and my
concern is you're reading the statute as you're required to have this appropriation to do what it says in the statute, but this is the statute pertaining to campaigning or just the normal duties of the administration?
Mr. Pogue is here. Why don't I think you you always want to defer to your attorney when you're when you're in an inquisition.
Good evening. Chris Pogue, Department of Law. Obviously, I was across the street watching TV, and I saw this debate ensue and headed over. I might have missed part of it, but Representative Guerra, through the chair, Representative Guerra, I didn't hear Representative Guttenberg's questions. I apologize. This is a state finance campaign law. It's 1513-145, and it says that very clearly public funds cannot be used to influence a campaign regarding a candidate. However, state funds can be used to take a position on a ballot measure if the appropriation says so. And the regulations go on to clarify that. The problem is this APOC regulation is, as far as what is nonpartisan information, APOC believes educational efforts are fairly limited. In fact, they think it's about where is the election, what's on the measure. If for however somebody, Commissioner Struer, for example, wanted to say something about scientific evidence regarding certain usage of certain products, that that information may not be considered nonpartisan. That information may be considered taking a position, and that would subject the state agency to a per day penalty of $50 to $500. So this appropriation and the regulation has to be clear that it's for the purpose of providing information on a ballot measure, because we are using public funds.
Representative Guttenberg?
Well, you've got 11 people here that are probably could be declared court experts on campaign finance laws.
Is everybody pretty clean on no violations?
We'll find out in a few days, Mr. Chair.
I wasn't asking about any purpose. I mean,
No, and I was joking back. That's fine.
I didn't mean to touch it.
Well, I'm trying to get a. I mean, we all have an opinion of how APOC is being administered, and this just seems to have fallen into the abyss of of the obscure nature of what some of these things are. You know, the ability of administration or any one of us to talk freely about something that we're not campaigning on. You know, the administration to be able to say, you know, to give a report on something that they've already done before clearly wouldn't be a violation of APOC, but it sounds like you're saying it is.
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, if I look at Alaska Statute 1513-140, it defines educational efforts, and it says the publication date and location of the election, the sponsorship of candidate debate forums, and this is what APOC uses to say what are educational and what is providing information, and they've taken a very strict reading of that. So it would prevent us from saying anything about the ballot measure itself that wasn't about when the election was to occur and what the measure was. So because of that restriction, This language is kind of more of an insurance policy. It allows us to actually speak about the substance of the ballot measure without an allegation that we're going afar of educational efforts. It's probably something that should and may need to be litigated, but for now, it's a small sum of money. It's an insurance policy so that people can actually speak about the substance of the ballot measure. If we had more clarity about what nonpartisan information was, we probably wouldn't need this, but sometimes we don't have that clarity, and today we don't.
Thank you. If you have a letter from APOC, maybe we could get it tomorrow. Do you have you mentioned that APOC's position or something that they had. Do you, if you have that in writing or an email or something, you can get that to us?
Through the chair, Representative Gutenberg, I could probably get the APOC lawyer to attend a committee meeting, if that's what you wanted.
Well, that would be next session, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I heard Ms. Rehfeld twice talk about the money being used to influence the outcome of an election. Then Mr. Pogue started talking about, no, it's just educational. Well, I've now seen the statute. It says the $10,000 here is to be used for the purposes of 1513-145B. 1513-145B says money held by an entity identified in this section may be used to influence the outcome of an election concerning a ballot proposition or question. So I don't see the word education anywhere in here. I see the words influence the outcome of an election. We are certainly legally allowed to do this. The question is whether we should.